Då tar jag och säger välkomna till avsnitt nummer 90 av Sockerberoende, Sveriges kanske enda podcast om nordamerikansk fotboll. Jag heter Johan Dykhoff och i det här avsnittet har jag intervjuat nordirländaren Thomas Stewart som under sin spelarkarriär gjorde 3 säsonger i Nordamerika och han representerade då Sacramento Republic och Ottawa Fury. Idag bor Thomas däremot i Sverige och jobbar som tränare för Division 2-klubben Ytterhogdals IK. Thomas Stewart föddes 12 november 1986 och kommer från Portadown på Nordirland. Under sin ungdom spelade han för Portadown FC och engelska Wolverhampton Wanderers innan seniorkarriären inleddes 2006 i Nordirlands mest framgångsrika klubb Linfield. Han spelade sen i tur och ordning för Derry City, irländska Shamrock Rovers, skotska Partick Thistle, Shamrock Rovers igen för att sen inför säsongen 2014 flytta till USA och Sacramento Republic i det som då hette USL Pro. Sacramento Republic var ett expansionslag, det vill säga ett helt nytt lag i ligan säsongen 2014 då Thomas flyttade dit. Sacramento gjorde omedelbar succé i USL Pro. De vann ligan som expansionslag säsongen 2014 och Thomas gjorde imponerande 12 mål på 22 matcher, inräknat slutspel. Ett av målen kom i finalen då Sacramento besegrade Harrisburg City Islanders. Därefter följde 1,5 år av inte lika bra prestationer i Sacramento för Thomas del. Och sommaren 2016 lämnade han för Ottawa Fury i den numera nedlagda ligan North American Soccer League. Efter ett halvår i Ottawa återvände Thomas till de brittiska öarna. Han spelade ett par säsonger för Dundalk FC och Larne United på Irland respektive Nordirland och la sen officiellt av som spelare under sommaren 2022 efter att ha varit klubblös i ett par år. Redan under spelarkarriären var Thomas fast inställd på att i framtiden arbeta som tränare och inför säsongen 2023 bar det av till Sverige för då hade Thomas skrivit på som tränare för Härjedalsklubben Ytterhogdals IK i Division 2 Norrland. Under Thomas första säsong klarade Ytterhogdals sig kvar i Division 2 efter kval och på grund av spelarbrist tvingades Thomas själv rycka in och spela hela 15 seriematcher. Thomas förlängde kontraktet över även denna säsong och Ytterhogdal har inlett serien med 2 segrar och 1 förlust. Dock understryker Thomas i intervjun att han inte har någon som helst ambition att spela i år. I den här intervjun pratar vi bland annat om Thomas tid i Sacramento Republic och givetvis deras ligatitel 2014. Sacramentos av allt att döma insomnade flytt till MLS. Förra årets säsong i Ytterhogdal. Tankarna om årets säsong och Thomas förhoppningar på sin fortsatta tränarkarriär. To start off, can you just talk a bit about your childhood and what role sports and football in particular played in your life as a kid?
Yeah, I fell in love with the game as early as I can remember, probably 2 or 3 years old. I remember, and there's photographs of me with the ball. It was just something I was drawn to, something my parents then, they actually enjoyed as well. They were both into sports and then my 2 brothers around me as well. So it was just one of those things growing up that was just, I was always seemed to be connected with the ball. It always just put a smile on my face. Like I said, I quickly drew a passion towards it and all of a sudden, any opportunity I could get to go and play football, just with the different boys' clubs or school clubs, it just sort of, that was where my love came from. And I watched it on TV then with my friends, my family, my mum and dad, my uncles, aunties. So we were always big into it that way. So it grew and grew and grew. And then obviously by the time you're 8 or 9, you're joining these small boys' clubs. And that's kind of the starting point. And then everything else after that sort of naturally takes place.
Right. And you're from Northern Ireland originally?
Yeah, originally Northern Ireland. So I lived in a small town called Portadown, which is in County Armagh, if anyone knows it. But certainly not many people get opportunities from back home. I think it's one of those things that growing up, there was not really anything professional to aspire to, especially in my hometown. So it really was a matter of trying to carve a career into something that I love and keep pushing and trying to maximize what my talent was, if you like. And certainly I was well supported with that. But Northern Ireland is a country that's doesn't really have the same infrastructures as other countries and doesn't have maybe the same background or the grassroots level as certainly other teams or countries do. And that was something that you had to really showcase yourself at every opportunity that you could. And fortunately for me, at one point in my career, the right people were watching at the right time.
I see. Moving on to your senior career, can you give us like a brief summary of your playing career up until your move to North America?
Obviously I started off at Wolves and then obviously going professionally there and playing it full time back home with Linfield, being successful back home in Ireland, going to Scotland and getting that experience. I felt like I'd won everything in Ireland and I'd kind of played it at at a good level there that I wanted to challenge myself somewhere different. And that's really where everything sort of turned for me in terms of like growth on and off the field. I feel like that was like going to America opened up just a real portal of knowledge in terms of like the athleticism side. Obviously, I was very athletic, but you just see on a day-to-day basis the absolute desire from younger athletes right the way to the top, and they've all the best facilities. Like the facilities are some of them, I wouldn't say world class, but there's a lot of brilliant facilities, and certainly in Major League, there would be some world class facilities there. So that's what a lot of people are aspiring to, and they've got that in the college, they've got that in their mindset. So I think that was brilliant for me, getting in amongst that. Obviously, being successful on our first season was extremely rewarding, but I felt like the journey was a great learning curve for me out there because I met some good people. And that's where I maybe sort of started to dive into a little bit more of the coaching and having more opportunities there as well.
Right. Like, at what point did you first hear about Sacramento Republic and their interest in signing you? And what were your thoughts about possibly going there in at first?
I was with Shamrock Rovers. We'd actually just finished the season, and again, we'd had some success, and again, I felt like I'd done everything in Ireland. I'd achieved everything that I wanted to achieve, and it was just more the fact of an agent reached out to me and said, "Listen, there's a team want you. Would you be interested in America?" It was very, very, very low key and kind of, it's a club that's never kicked a ball before. It's a new club, so it didn't really strike a chord in me instantly. I felt a little bit more, oh well, I need to know more about it. That's great. And a team wants me, further afield. Obviously, you're watching me, but I need to know more. And I think I remember going on a holiday with a couple of teammates and just sitting on the holiday. Then I got a couple of more messages saying this team is really interested. Now they have actual serious plans to go to the Major League Soccer within 3 to 5 years. This could be, something that, would be great for you and certainly, another good experience. So the more and more I tried to like make sense of it, I suppose, or kind of see where I would fit into something totally new and in a league that I didn't really know a lot of, to be honest. Even Major League Soccer, I didn't really know an enormous amount about because the real hub cap is Europe. That's where the best footballers are, the best coaches, the best teams. So that was a kind of a part that I wasn't really 100% sure about. But I always thought if I do go down this route, I can try and really make it successful, or if worst comes to worst, it doesn't go to plan, I don't enjoy this kind of culture lifestyle that comes with it out here as well, then I can always come home. So that was kind of where I was at. I ended up signing for the team, and it was a bit of a risk, I'll be honest. It felt like that, but certainly whenever I got out there, I was obviously very serious about what I do. I put everything into it. Most of the clubs that I've been at, maybe bar one, had always like an ambition to go and win something. So I felt that I didn't have those set targets from the coach or management and staff to go out and achieve that. But within me, I'm a winner, but in that, the mentality is always there. So I feel like my experience was always going to be very worthwhile to maybe someone underneath, not underneath me, but younger than me that hadn't maybe done that before, somebody that had never been professional. So I felt that was good. But we'd recruited probably four or five good players in the same sort of mold. And it took off and took off and took off. And there was a belief within the team. And I think it's just one of those special things that not a lot of people can achieve something like that in their first year. And that's why it is so special. That's why the club to this day talk about it in such high regard. And the conversations that people have about it are so special. It's a very unique experience, but it was a risk. But obviously, I got the reward from it.
Yeah, definitely. Was it a tough decision to moving that far away from home as well?
No, not really. I felt like whenever I was younger, whenever I left home at 15, 16 to go to Wolves, that was where you felt a wee bit like, oh, well, I'm leaving my family, I'm leaving my friends. Now, I never felt homesick, but it was always in the back of your mind, oh, when am I going to see my, you know, friends and family? I'm really going down a serious route of this is full time, this is professional, this is discipline, this is pure endeavour. And that mindset that you knew you have has to show every single day. And certainly then when you do go home, you see different traits and different people and people trying to like bring you out for drinks and that. And it's a kind of like a discipline you have to just say no to. So I think that was where I was grounded from. So going to America was easy. It never really felt like, yes, it was 10 hours on a plane, but it never felt, I never felt that far away. And football is such a universal language that I just never, those thoughts never went through my head. And I was always excited when people came to visit me. And again, I suppose it always helps when you've good people around you. And the club was good. The kind of culture was good within the club. And there was a nice kind of lifestyle off the field as well.
Mm, I see. As you mentioned, you were like really successful from day one. The team won the league in its first ever season, and you had a really good season personally as well. How highly do you rate this season if you take like your entire playing career and all your achievements in football into account?
I think it's got to be up near the top, if not the top, because of if you look at the top managers in the world, you know, with all the resources and finances and the ability to sign kind of whoever they want, it takes them time. Managers are always asking for time, certainly for me even as well to this day. I'll want time. It's there's no given, there's no guarantee, even with the best team, that you're going to win something. So I think for the way we won it, how we did it, and the fact that it hasn't been recreated in over 10 years shows how special it was and how tough it is. And I know the club's put a lot of money into it, and they've had a lot of good players coming through the doors and haven't been able to do what we did. So it has to be right up there with one of the biggest achievements, definitely.
Mm. Was it a big thing in the city as well? Like when you guys won the league, was there a lot of buzz around the club and the fact that you guys won the league?
Yeah, it was huge. Well, we were drawing crowds of 20,000 from early on in the season. It was just accumulating. There was so much noise about it. We were actually out doing the Sacramento Kings, the basketball team. So the NBA team obviously were underneath us in terms of a just pure noise and kind of publicity. So it sparked them. It brought them to a new level as well. And certainly whenever we did reach those heights, we were always getting a lot of fans and there was always a lot of celebrations. You know, the mayor of Sacramento brought us around the city and there was like the bus floats, the fire engine floats. There were thousands of people lining up the streets. And it was, for a USL team, it's such a strange thing because not every team's going to have that. And certainly there were some games we went to away games, flew to away games, and there were no real fans in some of the teams. So to have 20,000 fans at home, but next to nothing away was very, very strange. But we had the club Sacramento, knew how to do it, knew how to celebrate, and certainly knew how to put a club on the map. And I feel like that's what it was. It was putting the club on the map, a name on the map. And Sacramento is obviously the capital of California. So for them to have a club to represent is massive. And there was lots of young boys and girls who were able to aspire to that success. And I know it's developed and it's further developed since. But yeah, it was a, I can only imagine if they win it now, it would probably be double the size of celebrations.
Yeah. And then a couple of years after you had left in 2019, MLS announced that Sacramento Republic would be an expansion team in MLS, originally slated to start to play in 2022 and then later pushed to 2023. However, Sacramento's move to MLS was placed on like indefinite hiatus, I think in 2021 or something. And as far as I know, nothing has changed since. Judging from your experiences, do you think Sacramento would be a good city for an MLS franchise?
Yeah, I do. I believe it's fantastically well supported, and the fans are, ever present in terms of like even when they had these little setbacks of getting told of MLS, they're still out in numbers. They're still supporting. It's the city. It's made for, it's a city that's going to get minimum 15,000-20,000 fans every single week. Same as the kind of the basketball team. It gets supported even on bad days. You get a lot of support as well. Huge stadium there. So. I definitely feel it is, especially a capital city always needs someone to represent. And even in the area as well, if you're looking at like a derby game, you would have San Jose Earthquakes to play against as well, instead of LA. So I think that would be better to have a closer team. But you never know, maybe in the future they'll get it, but I felt like it was nailed on. I felt like it had taken so long to get that announcement. Because originally it was meant to be 3 to 5 years, and then it took longer. So it was a horrible feeling even for me whenever you're sporting from afar, whenever the rug sort of gets pulled out from your feet. But I hope they get there. I hope they get there. And certainly it's a club that I've a much love for and respect, and would love to see them represented at the top of the ladder one day.
Yeah, definitely. Outside of football, how did you like Sacramento as a city? Like what how did you enjoy life in Sacramento?
I actually really enjoyed the city. A lot of people probably were giving me a bit of a warning saying, oh, it's the armpit of California, but it was actually brilliant. I loved it. The people are what make it, and that's kind of that's who I am. I'm all about the people, and certainly there was a huge amount of respect, and I had a great time there in terms of like I loved the city in terms of how clean it was, how it's the city of trees. It's a beautiful little place to walk around. When you're going downtown, going for your coffee or just taking one, it's very, very relaxed. The weather is 35 to 40 degrees. Most of the lot of the year, so you're always in your shorts, your trainer flip flops, whatever it may be. So it's very nice, and the downtime's nice, but obviously, I just find it a beautiful place to live and very relaxing.
Speaking a bit more about your seasons with the team, who are in your opinion some of your like most outstanding teammates from a football point of view?
Yeah, I think looking back now, I think obviously a player called Roro, Rodrigo Lopez, is obviously still there now. He obviously left, came back, but he's obviously represented the club. He's American, obviously being there, and then obviously the COVID was a crazy thing, and then obviously he went back to the club, I think, after that. So he's obviously the one that's lasted the longest, and I think me and him linked up really well. I think he was one of the players that we just were on the same page of understanding of, like, I knew if he was dropping deep to get the ball, I could spin in behind or come short. We just had a good day, a professional understanding and relationship off the field. So I think certainly in my time there, he would have been the best player that I played with. Lots of good players. We had a good goalkeeper at the time, a good New Zealand goalkeeper who was internationally capped, Jake Gleeson. We had an Australian, Harrison Delberg, as well. But these players were good young pros at the time that maybe didn't sort of get those the full opportunities that I think, not that they didn't deserve, but like our manager at the time probably went for that old 4-4-2 press and made sure, like, it was just ruthless. And if the boys weren't quite ready, he would have gone for a little bit more experience instead. I mean, we had Aaron Long. Aaron Long was a player with us. He didn't get a minute, and he ended up being the national team captain for America. So, quite a turnaround from not playing. He got released from Seattle Sounders, and he was sent alone from Seattle Sounders to us. I think he played one game. The manager didn't like him. He got released from Seattle. He got sent to Orange County and played a few games for Orange County. He got sent away from Orange County to New York Red Bulls. Two, so the second team, he changed position from center midfield to center back, and he had a decent season, scored a few goals from center back. All of a sudden, got drafted to New York Red Bulls senior team, was then their primary center back, and then made the national team selection. And he went to the World Cup with America the last time. So I think his story was pretty cool, but certainly, again, he wasn't the best player I'd played with. But it just shows you, you know, with a little bit more luck and grind and attitude and another manager's opinion changes everything.
Definitely. Do you remember playing against anyone in particular who impressed you?
A certain Alphonso Davies played for Vancouver when I was there. So we actually, I'm convinced we lost the game 1-0, but I had a goal disallowed. It was either 2-1 or 1-0. I can't remember which, but it was an away trip to Vancouver, and he was only 15 or 16, and he was this big frame of a lad, very raw. Again, it might sound a little harsh, but he was just pacey at the time, or that's what he was showing, more so than any real skill. And he was obviously stood out for his frame and being, you know, people saying, oh, he's 15. So obviously he's gone on to have an amazing career. I think he's a brilliant player, but when you're young, you know, you're just seeing that rawness, you know, like I spoke about of Aaron, you know, there's a raw player, but again, you might not think he's going to hit the heights that he did. Alphonso Davies, not sure he's going to hit the heights he did, but I think a year later he sold for 8 million. He was a good player I played against, but certainly when you're talking about Bayern Munich level, you're not really seeing that at that age. A couple of good players. Trying to think who else off the top of my head, but I think that was the biggest in terms of like star.
Of course, yeah. Speaking of Canada, you also spent like half a season with the Ottawa Fury, who unfortunately ceased operations a few years later. What was your spell in Ottawa like?
I enjoyed it. It wasn't long enough. It was one of those things that obviously had left kind of Sacramento sort of in the summertime, so I knew there was only going to be limited time, but I wanted to relish working with a Paul Dalglish, obviously famous Kenny Dalglish's son. So I felt that it was a good opportunity. It was a manager that respected me, knew my game, wanted me. And after the injury that I had up at Sacramento, I just felt like I was kind of just being sort of pushed to the side slightly. And again, you need to be playing games as best as you can. And I felt like it was a good fit because I was playing under a manager that was an ex-striker. Had a good pedigree as well, and obviously I felt like he really knew what he was talking about. And at this time, obviously you're starting to think about coaching, you're starting to think about getting experience off different managers, different styles of football, different countries to play in, different teams you're playing against. So those were always in the back of my mind. It wasn't the first reason was obviously going to play football and going to do well and do as best as I can. But I felt always right, okay, well, what's going to give me the best opportunity to actually learn as well as play?
Interesting. So you sort of for the last couple of years of playing, you actually looked through with the lens of I'm going to coach in the future.
Yeah, I would say so. I think even when I moved across to Sacramento, obviously I was going to work with a manager that obviously had international experience, good club experience with Everton as well, and a good experience under managers back home. So I had obviously Glenn Hoddle, Dave Jones, Stephen Kenny, Michael O'Neill, Kenny Shields, all international managers. So I already had a good background, but I certainly was like wanting to test out different skill sets with different managers. But I always knew I wanted to go down that route of coaching. And I wanted to, you know, test myself eventually, but certainly I had more of a attraction to coaching whenever I got to America. Just I felt like I understood it a lot more, and I felt that that would be the right solution for me. And obviously, I love the game so much, and you can see how many people you can affect in the game as well.
Yeah, yeah. So after leaving Ottawa, you played for a couple of seasons more in Ireland, in Northern Ireland. And if I'm not mistaken, you played your last game, well, apart from last season when you actually did play for Itteghlal, but yeah. You played your last like pro game in August of 2019, and you were only, I think, 32 at the time when you retired. So how did you, that which is pretty young, so how did you arrive at the decision to retire then?
It was a weird spell for me. It obviously I'd finished with Larne, and then obviously unfortunately our family went through a bad time with my mum passing away with cancer, and then obviously not long after that COVID came. So COVID kind of took away for probably close to two and a half years of football, really. So start stop everything. I'd already done my A license, and I just made a complete decision to go down the road of going into coaching. I wanted to be a young manager. I wanted to come out of it all going, okay, I'm not having to like play catch up by the time I'm, you know, when I do retire, if I go on to like 36 to 37, like now, if I started retiring now, I'd have to go back to square one with coaching. And I didn't want to do that. I felt like, you know, I felt like I was already understanding what I needed to. I was already within the modern day game. And I was really learning that within coaching. So I felt like I had a good head start for that reason. And it was just something I actually loved doing. So again, I didn't really hesitate too much. And the more I threw myself into it, the more I was really, really just enjoying it. More and more I wanted it, more and more I cared about it, the more and more I thought I can actually affect football in a real positive way. And that's what I hope to do in the long term. But certainly right now, I'm enjoying everything I'm doing and what I'm learning, and I'm constantly trying to learn and trying to challenge myself on a daily basis.
And you came here to Sweden about a year ago in early 2023. And so how did you end up in Itteghlal, out of all places?
Go ahead.
Yeah, and also like what was it about Itteghlal that made it appealing enough for you to actually make the move?
Yeah, I get asked that a lot. And it's just probably, there's no real easy answer apart from you want to break into Europe. I don't see many Northern Irish coaches taking those opportunities, and that's one thing I always wanted to do with football whenever I played, was take opportunities when they came along and not take anything for granted. I believe in myself. I believe no matter where I can go, I can affect football in a positive way. And I wanted the opportunity. I coached a little bit back home, and I just felt like I'd done everything I need to do there. I wasn't really content. I wanted to go further afield, and that's kind of how I view it, the same as football. You're always trying to push to another level. And certainly I was on the lookout for jobs. I had a couple of people contacting me about going further afield, and it wasn't something that was really I wasn't really drawn to it, because I feel like football, when I was playing, America wouldn't have been my first choice growing up if it started there. So I wanted to go into somewhere where I had a little bit more a foundation or respect, or you know, you're learning in a place that actually is already set up for football, and it's got all the foundations in place. So I think that's the same for coaching. Obviously Sweden is a great league. It's one that's probably not been challenging in Europe for a few years. So I feel like it's a country that's on the way up again. Mm-hmm. It's starting to climb back, and I felt like that was the perfect fit for me to try and break into Sweden. Obviously, I want to go up the leagues as quickly as possible, but I want to learn and make sure whenever I do get opportunities that I'm ready for it. But going back to just how I came across, I was looking at different places. I was always searching different clubs to see what was available, what would suit me, different styles of football. There was a job advertisement I saw online, and I spoke to a guy, Nick McCreary, online, and he set up with the sports chief in Itteghlal, said they were looking, and it really just became something that I was all of a sudden the front runner with my CV and obviously my playing career. So I felt really comfortable with that and confident and that I was supported well. And yeah, those two guys helped me a lot. And certainly whenever I was making the move, I knew it was going to be a small place, a small village, a small club, small budget, a tough place to go. But that was just something that I wanted to expose myself to. I think sometimes as a young coach, a lot of people that go straight into clubs maybe have a decent sort of staff, a decent kind of foundation, and then they get sacked and then they don't know what to do. You know, for me now, I've been exposed to some of the things that I'll probably never face again anywhere else I go. So I know how to deal with certain things. I've had to deal with lots of off the field, not just issues, but kind of when the board level and making sure I understand those and asking questions all the time and getting that support. And I really feel it's one of those, the jobs that it's a brilliant opportunity for any young coach to come in and try and grow as not just as quickly as possible, but just sponge everything in, let everything come toward you, because football is all about making mistakes and challenging yourself. And I feel like, you know, I've tried to combine the two and in order to try and learn the best as I can.
Yeah. So even though the level isn't like the very highest, it's still, you still feel like this is a good place to be and a good learning opportunity.
Well, we're a full-time club, so you know, that's something that obviously I was drawn to probably the most. I have to operate within a very strict budget. I have to operate within a team that is only 18 players, two of those being goalkeepers. Mm. So I have to do that. I have to make sure we have as many bodies on the field as possible to pick from. I have to try and manage the periodization of things on a day-to-day basis with training and making sure I look after the bodies, have a duty of care for the players and making sure they're well supported, making sure the players are trying to develop and grow and get to another level. That's my challenge, is to try and develop players and make sure they can play at the highest level possible. So it's not just for me, it's to try and encourage and help other players. And certainly, I believe I can do that. I believe I've done that with a few teams. And the challenge that I had last year, obviously, was to stay in the division. And I'm so pleased that I did that. And now this year, not a lot of people know, obviously, this is the first time I've actually recruited the players. I didn't recruit the players last year. So I feel like managers should have the opportunity to recruit their players, because it's their own identity, their style, and that's something that I've wanted to implement, is my kind of style, my, you know, put my authority on it. And I believe we have, you know, quite a good team, but we're the last to arrive. It's not an excuse, it's just the truth. We don't train over the winter. We just bring the players in 3 to 4 weeks before the season actually begins. And it's a little bit of, it's a lot of catch up, actually, trying to catch up with other teams and finalize the team and get the togetherness and make sure you're all going in the right direction with the same squad harmony. So that's a huge challenge that probably a lot of people just sort of bypass. And obviously football, you get judged on results, but whenever you look at the grand scheme of things and how things are done, then I think there should be a lot more respect given to that and a lot more emphasis put on the fact that this is a place where you're trying to develop players and trying to develop as a coach. And, you know, when the time's right to move on from here, I feel like I'll have learned so much that I probably wouldn't have done in a different club that's maybe a division higher or two.
Mm, I see. Was it part of a plan that you would actually play a bit yourself, or was that just out of necessity?
I was completely out of necessity. No. I had a pair of Copa Mundiales brought over with me, so the old coaching boots came with me, and obviously then I had to go in and purchase a pair of boots to play in. So it was never, no, it was never something. I hadn't stepped on a pitch in so long, and then obviously we had so many difficulties last year. Obviously, whenever you came in, you had a squad of 18. All of a sudden, there were players leaving during the middle of the night. There were players walking out on me, so I had to go and try and replace players, which was difficult. The transfer window was closing, which means you can only sign amateur players. So I'm getting players that technically maybe aren't good enough, or they're not fitting the frame or fitting how I wanted to be exactly. So I'm having no time. So I'm having to take a lot of risks on players that aren't quite ready then for the full-time football or breaking down with injury. So all of a sudden, I mean, we went up to Corunna and we had 10 outfield players plus myself. So I had to play, you know, so it was very difficult on occasions, but certainly I enjoyed the fact that I was able to help. And obviously, whenever I tried to perform, I was always trying to win the game of football. And certainly, I'm glad I had a few wins. But being a player coach, it wasn't ideal, and it was something that I didn't want to do. It's not something that I wanted. But again, I was just trying to help the team out as best as I could. But I'll not that I've, I'm absolutely not putting on a pair of boots again. So that's something I can guarantee anybody going forward.
I see. I see. I know from before that Ytterhogdal they have a lot of or you guys have a lot of foreign players on the team, and that's still the case today. Like, what are some of the nationalities, just to name a few, on your roster today?
Yeah, a couple of Italian, some Irish, some Dutch,
Mm.
Canadian Italian, Cypriot, Portuguese, English, dual citizenship, and I'm trying to think what else. Danish,
Yeah.
so a couple of Scandinavian, but no, it's great to have the club that's it's kind of it is a known club to quite a lot of people, but it's still a small club and a small village. So it's certainly it's got respect within the league, but whenever you're so many different nationalities, it's always harder to blend the team together quicker. And obviously everybody's had more time than us to have those strategies in place, the team bonding in place, the togetherness. So again, that's another challenge for us to try and overcome, and it becomes a mentality test a lot of times for boys here. Mentality, just living in a small village for a lot of us, they only have one shop here, so it's a difficult thing. And again, credit to anybody that sort of comes through it. And again, I try and remember that for myself as well. You know, it's one of those places that you've seen so many bigger places. You know, there's no coffee shop, there's nothing like that, so you can't even go out and do that. So I'm proud of the players whenever they get the results and whenever they put the effort in, the hard work. I really am, and it's great to see when things come to life, but it is a difficult challenge. There's no getting away from that.
I see. As you mentioned, you avoided relegation last year through playoffs, and but this season you've actually started off pretty decently. What are your goals with for this season?
It's difficult to really have those set goals. I feel like, you know, because I've inherited the players, and obviously this year it's my players that I've brought in, if you like. I feel that there's more trust within the group. I feel that there's more ability within the group. Obviously we've had a good start to the season, and we've been competitive even in the game we lost, but we're third in the league. And I want the boys to believe in themselves. Listen, we've a mountain to climb. There's no getting away from that, because one or two injuries, and touch wood, we don't get it, means we're, you know, down low on numbers. And obviously, if you get a suspension, we don't have the nucleus of players that other teams have, the disposal of bringing in a youth academy player. We just don't have it. So we have to be very, very clear about one game at a time. And that's what I try and say to the players. All I want them to do is be brave and work hard for me, and try and implement what we're learning and training on the pitch, and showcase themselves, you know, to give themselves a better future. But yes, we've had a great start, but I wouldn't sit here and say, you know, I'm going to do this or that. I want us to be competitive. I want us to go and make sure every game we've a chance of winning, you know, and coming off the pitch, even if we lose, going, you know what, we give a good account of ourselves. We've done the best we can, and we're constantly trying to improve. I like to play football out from the back, so we want to play a good style of football. I want us to try and be as entertaining as possible, because the modern day game will obviously help these players go to another club. That means they'll be educated well and able, if they do make a move up, to go and perform. So that's my goals, really. I don't want to get away from that and go, oh, we're going to win the league. That's wrong, because we obviously avoided relegation last year because that was our ambition. Again, I believe we're the smallest budget club, so if we can achieve anything this year, it's a massive success. And I think right now I would love to stay in the top four or five up to the summer, and then assess where we're at then. But again, We've tough games coming up. We've a really tough test this weekend against a strong team that's been together for a number of years, and in my opinion, are probably one of the title favourites we've gotten us. So I think if we can get something out of that, it's a fantastic achievement. And then obviously, the more points we can pick up, the better. But again, we've had a good start. You want to stay away from the bottom of the pile, you know, but you want to be as high up. If we can stay in the top, like I said, four or five, that would be brilliant to or as close to that as possible before the summer break, and it'll give us a chance to maybe go and strengthen after that. But certainly, I'm not going to sit here and say we're going to do this or that. It's about us now trying to compete in every single game and develop as individuals and as a team.
Yeah, I see. Is your contract for through the end of this season?
This season, yeah. So again, it's an opportunity for me to put absolutely everything into this year, and don't worry about what the future holds. It's about, you know, trying to do the best on a weekly basis, and that's kind of how I try and operate. Because again, another challenge is it's only me coaching. You know, I don't have the luxury of another coach or a goalkeeper coach around. So it's me on the training ground every single day, looking after everything. So I don't mean that in an arrogant way. I just mean that I'm exposed to absolutely everything. So it's given me an opportunity to learn and be in amongst the lads every day. But hopefully we can have a good enough season and challenge. But I don't know what the future holds right now, but certainly I'm not looking too far ahead. But in terms of a progression and moving up the ladder, I believe I can do that, and hopefully I get those opportunities.
Now that you've been in Sweden for about a year, to what extent have you like gotten into Swedish football and like learned more about the higher leagues and the bigger clubs and so on?
Yeah, well, I was always when I was younger. Italy and Swedish football were two of my kind of favorite kind of countries. I always enjoyed those, and they always seemed to be shown back home in Northern Ireland for some reason. So yeah, I enjoyed that. But I always, probably since you heard about Graham Potter, there was probably more of like the tactical side of it was brought in. But whenever I was at one of my old clubs, Linfield, and then when I played for Northern Ireland Youth, we played in Sweden, played in the Champions League, and then also against Sweden national team. So it was Elfsborg I played against, and you saw the tactical side of it there, the build up from the back, you know, the possession type football. And it's always something that I wanted to be more inclusive with teams. I always wanted to, because I was always a player when I was younger, we would have played like a 4-4-2, and some of the tactics back home were a long ball, which I didn't want. I wanted that. I felt like it was good enough to play in teams that were tactical and possession based. And that's kind of how I love the game to be played. And I wanted more of those opportunities. So coming out to a nation that predominantly plays football out from the back and gets into good tactical shapes, it's something that I'm really enjoying, and obviously trying to create, put my own stamp on the style of football as well. You know, there's a certain way to play here, but you want to obviously add your own mix to it, and obviously your own take on it too.
Right. Like how, now you mentioned that Ytterhudal is actually, it's obviously a tiny place, but to what extent have you enjoyed life in Sweden outside of football?
Yeah, very much so. Number one, it's a beautiful place. It's very, obviously when the snow, it's something that is very peaceful or something outside. You know, the nature walks are good. Cross-country skiing for me, it's something that I picked up. I've taken to it. It's just the language, you know, it's been very difficult for me, and obviously I haven't been able to sit down because I've been just so busy, and obviously I'm the only one coaching, so it's kind of hard to do all of the above. I do try my best on Duolingo and things like that to be doing my Swedish lessons, but certainly I think over the next few years, obviously that'll start to pick up pace, and hopefully I'll be in a position to actually, you know, get a one-to-one teacher to help me or something like that. But I love the place. I've always had a good feeling about it. I love the people, and hopefully now the football goes well, and certainly I can find this has been a lovely place with Ytterhogdal and a nice community, and certainly if things go well for me, I'll find somewhere similar to here, with a good community and good people and a good football club along the way as well.
So we'll touch base in a year, and we'll do this interview in English or in Swedish then.
maybe a few words, absolutely. So no, that's the challenge I want to set myself as well. But certainly, yeah, I've been so focused on making sure we have a team that competes first and foremost before I start speaking Swedish. But certainly, I'm starting to understand a lot of words. I can little bits and pieces I'm picking up, but I'm nowhere near fluent at any means. So something that I want to definitely learn.
Yeah. Is there anything about Sweden or Swedish people that you've found like strange or at least unexpected?
I wouldn't really say so. No, I kind of feel like it was just everything I expected it to be. And I've enjoyed myself. No, I think there's not been an occasion where I've, like you spoke about earlier, feeling homesick or anything like that. I don't get that. Obviously, the older I am now, you know, it doesn't faze me at all. But it's just, I find it such a inviting and warm place to live as well. And it's certainly somewhere I feel like I can do well and enjoy that off the field as well. And the culture and environment, I feel it's something that would suit my my life and my character as well.
We've had some coaches from at least England in the Premier League, as you mentioned, Graham Potter, and also like Roy Hodgson was here,
yeah,
in like several decades ago now. So we got a like pretty decent history of successful Swedish coaches from the UK and Ireland, and so hopefully you'll be the next in the Premier League.
Yeah, I really hope so. You know, I believe in myself. I believe I can. But again, it's getting those opportunities, and obviously, you're only as good as the people around you. You know, I can only I never want to claim success for anything, but certainly, I think as same as a football player as well. You know, as many goals as I scored, you know, I would rather be on the winning team than the personal success. So that's just how it is. You know, and it's the same as a coach. You know, I can only paint the picture on the training field for players. I can only give them as much information. It's up to the player on the day to go and perform and give it their all. So hopefully, you know, the higher up I go, I'll get those opportunities and I get to work with some more quality as well. But certainly, I believe in myself. I believe I can. And that's the ambition, is to get to the top.
Yeah. Do you know, or at least know of, a guy called Patrick Walker?
Yes.
Yeah. He is Irish, and he's had a pretty decent coaching career and playing career in Sweden as well. And his son also played in the Swedish Premier League, Kevin Walker, for several years.
Yes, I think I've heard. If I'm not mistaken, is he the singer as well? He won.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, then there you go. I've heard. So no way. I was in not direct communication with him last season, and obviously he'd spoken highly of me, which was nice to hear. And I think there's some good people here, and Tor Grip, obviously being from the club as well, obviously congratulated, you know, our team after our first win of the season as well at the start. So it was nice to hear. So it's nice to see people see or hear of your work, you know, that have done well in the game, and certainly, you know, it's something that I'd love to emulate those two as well, and do as well as those two, and certainly that's what I'll be aiming for.
Sådär ja, då tar vi och tackar Thomas Stewart för att han tog sig tid att ställa upp på den här intervjun, och vi önskar honom givetvis allt gott framöver. Nu närmast så blir det alltså en säsong till i Ytterhogdal, och sen får vi se vart han tar vägen. Kanske blir det högre upp i seriesystemet i Sverige eller utomlands någonstans. Tack så mycket för att ni har lyssnat på det här avsnittet. Som jag nämnde i förra avsnittet så har jag lite fullt upp för stunden, nämligen i form av att jag ska flytta, så det kan bli lite kärvt med avsnitt nu framöver. Men jag har i alla fall ett avsnitt inbokat nu i närtid, så det kommer komma i en överblickbar framtid. Sen får vi också se, det kanske blir en liten, liten, liten paus efter det. Hur som helst, tack för att ni har lyssnat. Ta hand om er, så hörs vi i framtida avsnitt av Sockerberoende. Ha det fint. Tja, tja.